Greetings, dear listeners, and a warm welcome to Walnut Grove Podcast. I'm Tim Shapley, your host and pastor of Walnut Grove Southern Methodist Church in the heart of West Monroe, Louisiana. Our podcast is a space where we come together to explore, discuss, and reflect on matters of faith, community, and the journey of life. At Walnut Grove, we believe in the power of meaningful conversation and biblical understanding that draws us closer to God and one another. The goal of this podcast is simple, yet profound: to inspire, encourage, and uplift. We'll delve into topics that matter to you, featuring insightful interviews, Bible studies, and sermons discussing faith and reflections on navigating life's joys and challenges. Whether you're a member of our church community, a fellow believer, or someone seeking spiritual insights, we invite you to join us on this journey. Together, let's explore the richness of faith, foster a sense of community, and draw closer to divine purpose each of us carries. Thank you for turning into Walnut Grove Podcast. Now let's embark on this adventure together. Not sure if y'all know this, but tomorrow the world's going to end. End of the world tomorrow. Hope you made your plans. It's going to rain, by the way. I was hoping for a nice, beautiful end of the world. Nope, going to rain. A lot of people are preaching that. A lot of people are teaching that tomorrow because there's an eclipse. Didn't know if you know this. We're not going to be able to see it because, again, the rain. But as we approach tomorrow's solar eclipse, there's a buzz of speculation and even fear surrounding its significance. Some voices claim it heralds the end of the world, while others see it as a natural phenomenon, as it is, to be appreciated. There's going to be a lot of craziness because they're just all gathering together and all this, where it's going to be the path of totality, and which goes across Texas and Arkansas and up into towards New York, I think. Solar eclipses happen all the time. About every 18 months, there's a solar eclipse all over the Earth. They just happen. It's not that strange. It's just where it's going. It's the first time in a while of where it's going to be here across America. We had one not too long ago, about 7 years ago, we had one. I was working at George Welch. I remember when we had the solar eclipse. But people have been going off and talking about how this is the end of the world, and it has gotten bad enough that, you know, there's kids in our school who are saying, yeah, the rapture is going to happen. It doesn't even matter. The rapture might happen tomorrow, and if it does, great. I'll be there. But we are seeing a lot of false teachers, false prophets, and not just about the solar eclipse, about everything that's going on, just things that are going on in the world, everything that's going on in Israel and Russia and all of that situation. And people are just fear-mongering, doom-saying, and it has become a problem. And in his letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul addresses the dangers of deception and apostasy within the church. In a world filled with false teachings and misleading signs, Paul's words serve as a timely reminder for us today. So we're going to be doing a Timothy sandwich. We're going to be going to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll read the first five verses. Then we're going to jump over to Matthew for a little bit, and then we're going to come back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and finish that off. We have to recognize the signs of deception.
And here in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, Paul is encouraging Timothy in his ministry and in his teaching and preaching, and he is telling him about the false teachers, false prophets within Ephesus, and warning him about these false teachers. And starting in verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." So these might seem like small problems to us. These false teachers were teaching the people in Ephesus to not marry, and that certain foods were to not be eaten. And we go, okay, well, that's not that big of a deal, is it? Well, it is when it is the spirit behind it. Now, there's nothing wrong with a diet. Many of you have a certain diet that you eat. You stay away from certain foods, sugars, these types of things. There's nothing wrong with that. And some people are not called to be married. That is, in the Bible talks about singleness and it talks about marriage. Both are ordained by God. Both are blessed by God. And I think it is sad that the church has not taught about singleness like it should. It just teaches about marriage. Marriage is important. I'm married. I love being married. Marriage is an important part of God's creation. But he has also blessed those who stay single. And so there's nothing wrong with that. But we are living, and I don't know if you are aware of this, but the Generation Z and part of millennials, they are not marrying. And they're not having children. And they don't want to get married. And they do not want to have children. And it has become a problem, not just in the United States, not just within the church, but within the world as a whole. We also have people who are stepping up and they're going back to what they say is biblical, going back to the Levitical diets, but it is this legalism that has entered the church, to where they think, well, if I follow these rules, like the Pharisees were teaching in Jesus' day, if I follow these rules, I'll be more holy and earning salvation. But we know that is a false teaching, because we do not earn salvation. Salvation is a gift by God. It's only something that we can have because he has given it to us. And there's nothing we do. It is of faith, not of our works. And so you have legalism that has entered the church, and then you have I tried to pronounce this earlier, asceticism, but is a lifestyle characterized by abstinence from sensual pleasures, often for the purpose of pursuing spiritual goals. Now, we know that in the Bible there are many single godly men and women as well, but people who were called to be celibate, people who were called to even have a particular diet, like Daniel. Daniel was most likely a eunuch, and he had a certain dietary a diet that he followed that actually set him apart from other people. Then you have Elijah, who also had a who was not married and had a diet himself, and then John the Baptist, who was not married and who had a weird diet of eating locusts and wild honey. Paul, who might have been married at one time, but he was either divorced from his wife because of his faith or she had died. We're not sure what, but we know at the end of his ministry he is single. He talks about being single. So there's nothing wrong with being single. There's nothing wrong with abstaining from sex and these types of things. In fact, you should if you're outside of marriage, right? That has only been given for marriage. But we have this doctrine entering into the Christianity again that has been twisted. I don't know if you know anything about Side B Christianity or what Side B Christians are, and you probably never heard of it before. I'm going to explain it to you. Side A Christians are what these people call Christians who affirm the LGBT. Side B are ones who say that homosexual act is sinful, but they are a homosexual. They claim the identity, but they just refuse the act. So what a lot of these people will do is they'll have a what they call a spirit partner, where they live together, man and man, woman and woman, but yet they do not, at least they tell you, they do not partake in that sinful act. They call themselves Side B Christians. So they say, well, we're abstaining from the act, but they are embracing everything else that is still sinful. Because marriage, and most of us have been married here or are married, marriage is not just about sex. It is about a relationship together between a man and a woman. It is a companionship. There's a lot more that goes into it than just that act. But again, we are having these same lies that are entering the church today that were going on in Paul and Timothy's day and in Jesus' day before that. And so these might look like simple or not very important teachings, but they are causing a lot of problems, and they're causing a lot of problems today. So let's jump over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 is Jesus' second big sermon. He's got two sermons. We talk about the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And here is the Olivet Discourse. It also took place on a mountain, the Mount of Olives. But this is Jesus' last discourse, his last sermon before his death on the cross. And he gives this message because his disciples point at the temple and they say how beautiful it is, and then he tells them that that temple is going to be destroyed. And so the disciples come and they ask him about that. They say, when is this going to happen? When is the temple going to be destroyed? When are you going to return? And when is the end time? So they ask three questions there. And so Jesus gives the Olivet Discourse answering all those questions. So he's talking about eschatology, about the end times, and what leading up to the destruction of the temple and then his return and all of that. And when he gives this, he tells them something very important. Now, he talks about wars, he talks about natural disasters, famines, these things that can be kind of scary. But the main thing he starts with, and the point that he keeps bringing over and over again, is about false teachers. And so in verse 4, it says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.'" This is what Jesus starts out the message with. Make sure you are not being deceived by these false teachers, by these false prophets. And then skip a couple of verses to verse 8. Verse 6, he talks about the wars and about famines and those types of things. But let's skip over to verse 8 because he comes back to this again. "And these are the beginnings of sorrows. And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. and you will be hated by all nations for my sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So then he comes back to it. False prophets, false teachings. People are going to hate you, and they're going to be trying to deceive and bring people away from the truth of Christ. And then again, we're going to skip to verses 23 through 28. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect, the believers, the church. If possible, they'll deceive the church. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. So Jesus says, look, when he does return, you will know it. It will be something you know. So don't believe all these false prophets, all these false teachers who are saying, look, he's coming now. You know, look here, look there, look at these signs. Jesus says it's going to be pretty plain. It's going to be pretty plain. So we should persevere. People are going to rise up. People are rising up right now. They are preaching against Christ, even though they look like they are preaching for him. This is something that Jesus takes very seriously. Again, here in this message, in this sermon, the biggest portion of this, of chapter 24, is dealing with false teachers and false prophets. But he also says in chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18, he talks about deceiving, and he talks about the dangers of it, and about the false teachers. And in chapter 18, verse 10, he says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, surely I say to you, he rejoices more than that sheep, more over that sheep than over the 99 that does not go. Even so, I'm sorry, verse 6 is where I needed to be. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, here we go. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. So here Jesus says, if these little ones, these children, if you lead them astray, you are in a dangerous territory here. It is better for you than if you had this heavy stone. Now, a millstone is a grinding stone. And what you would do is you would have this big grinding bowl. It would be huge. It would have an indent in it. And you would put the grain or whatever cane that you want to grind, and then you have this other huge stone that grinds against it, so you create flour or sugar or these types of things. Olive press, you put your olives in there to get out the oil. these grinding stones. He said it would be better to have this huge millstone around your neck. We think about this with the mob, you know, when they tie cinder blocks to some, you know, they have it chained around somebody so that they sink to the bottom. These stones were much heavier than a couple of cinder blocks. And so Jesus talks about the importance here of not leading people astray. But we've done it in church before. The church is guilty of this. We were talking about this in Sunday school. Gary mentioned, you know, how many churches have said, all you have to do is say the words. All you have to do is confess Jesus. All you have to do is repent, and you'll be good to go. Now, you do need to confess Jesus as Lord, and you do need to repent, but that repentance leads to following Christ, and that repentance leads to denying self, taking up your cross, and following Him daily. And it's going to be hard, and it's going to be tough, and there's going to be tribulation. Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. We're not doing it on our own, and we're not going to just have happy days and sunshine. Again, it's going to rain tomorrow. We have to be careful of our teachings. Now, maybe parents have just been joking around saying tomorrow is going to be the end of the world, but we've had several kids at our school who were confused, who said, well, the rapture is going to happen on Monday. Why do we even care? Why should we even come to school? Why should we do these tests? Why, you know, leading these little ones astray? Maybe they don't understand if their parents were joking. Maybe their parents weren't joking. Leading people astray, we have to be careful. Jesus takes it seriously. I listened to a four-hour video this week about Benny Hinn. Don't know if y'all are familiar with Benny Hinn. He's been around for quite a while. And one of the faith healers. He started in the 80s, so he's been around for about 40 years. Kind of went away within America, but has made a big resurgence, in especially Africa and Asia. And the whole video was rebuking him, was showing about his false teachings. But how many people has he led astray? We have to be careful that we are not false teachers, we are not false prophets, but also that we're not led astray ourselves, that we're not listening to those false teachings and those false prophets. We have to know what the Word of God says and to follow it. So back in 1 Timothy, after being warned of the false teachers in 1 Timothy 4, Paul comes back and he gives Timothy some instruction. He says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, starting in verse 6, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, for exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe these things command and teach. So know your word. Know the word of God. Build your life upon it. Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, that if you hear these sayings of his, all that Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and you do them, you are like a man who built his house on the rock. And when the rains come, again, coming tomorrow, when the rain comes and the winds blow, that house will stand. But if you hear those sayings and you don't do them, you are like that fool who builds his house on the sand. And the rains descend and the winds blow and the house falls, and great is its fall. We need to make sure we are spiritually healthy and discerning. And that when people speak falsely and they prophesize falsely, we're bold enough to stand up with love and say, that's wrong. That's wrong. We need to point it out. It's not hateful to speak the truth. In fact, it's loving. We don't want people to live in lies. We don't want people to be fooled or to lead others astray. We need to stand up. We need to say, it's wrong. Again, not hatefully. We need to do it lovingly. We know it's wrong because this is what the Word of God says. This is what Jesus says. This is what the rock is built on. This is what our lives should be built on. Not those sands, those things that sound good, those things that look good, but they have no strength. They have no foundation, and they're blown away. We need to make sure we are spiritually healthy. Here, Paul says, look, it's great to have a healthy body, to exercise, to have that diet, but that body's only going to be here for a short time. And you might be healthy, and you're really healthy in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, but eventually, you can't do it anymore. Your spirit, though, your spirit, it needs to be healthy. It needs to be strong. It needs to be built on that foundation. So in a world filled with deception and false teachings, it is crucial for believers to remain vigilant, discerning, and steadfast in the faith. By recognizing the signs of deception, persevering in tribulation, protecting the vulnerable, and nourishing spiritual health, we can guard against deception and remain firm in the truth of God's Word. And we need to be outspoken on that truth of God's Word. Some of the biggest false teachings we could do, the biggest harm we could do, is sit silently, knowing that it is false, that it is wrong. So let's heed Paul's exhortation to Timothy and Jesus' warnings in Matthew in standing firm in our faith and proclaiming the truth with boldness and conviction. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray against those false teachers. I pray that the truth is heard louder than the falsehoods. That the truth is seen. And that the lies are pushed away. Lord, let your truth be known. And let us, who know your truth, boldly stand and proclaim it. Help us to not give in to fear. Help us to not sit silently by, but help us to, in love, stand firm on the truth of your word. We just ask all of this in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Walnut Grove Podcast. We hope our discussions have inspired and uplifted you. If you'd like to connect further, visit our website at walnutgrovechurchwm.com for more resources, information about our church, and ways to get involved. For real-time updates and community engagement, find us on Facebook at Walnut Grove Southern Methodist Church. Join the conversation, share your thoughts, and stay connected with our vibrant community. Additionally, you can check out our Discord channel. It's a space where our community gathers for casual chats, discussions, and shared experiences. You can find the link on our website or reach out to us on Facebook for an invitation. And don't forget to engage with us further by commenting, rating, liking, and sharing the podcast. Your feedback is valuable to us, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on the topic we've covered. Your comments and ratings not only help us improve, but also contribute to creating a more interactive and enriching experience for the entire Walnut Grove community. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider leaving a positive review on your favorite podcast platform. Your reviews play a crucial role in reaching a wider audience and spreading the message of faith, inspiration, and community. Feel free to share the podcast with your friends, family, and on social media channels. Let's continue to build a supportive and uplifting community together. Thank you for your continued support, and we look forward to connecting with you in the comments, ratings, and shares. Until next time, take care and stay blessed.